Hey guys, welcome back to Stay Positive. I'm Sierra. I'm very excited about this week's episode. Ooh, before we dive in, I have some exciting news. I'm actually working this weekend next, writing for this not yet announced Netflix show. So I'll let you guys know when that comes out. It'll be fun. But yeah, so thanking all the people who have given me jobs because girls got to work, you know what I mean? But here we are. That's why I'm a little delayed, I guess, with this podcast, but it's a really fun one. I've luckily banked a bunch, so I'll still have them even when I'm working. But number one, this guy is so cool and a delight, just a ball of joy and lots of fun, but also a complex human being, so I don't mean to characterize him as otherwise. I met him as a comic. He's a stand-up comedian, actor, singer, performer in general, and has a really awesome Instagram. I'll tag him so that you guys know where to find him, or he gives out advice. He has a column also giving out advice. And so it kind of worked out really well because I just knew him as like, oh, he'd be perfect for the podcast. Lots of energy, like probably has some really enlightening things to say. But what I didn't realize is he's really into the whole positivity thing. I didn't even really explain, I guess, that my podcast was about that until like right before. And he's like, oh, this is where I walk. You know what I mean? This is my thing. So he knew a ton of really awesome things and gave me some great advice on the podcast and off, which, by the way, I wanted to tell this in the intro, but like after we stopped recording, he had even more really cool advice and I wanted to share it with you guys because unfortunately we weren't recording, but it was good stuff. So number one was that, oh yeah, so if you have like negative thoughts and you're just being a negatron, you know, 5,000, then you should try to zoom out and like make your thoughts more general. So for instance, I don't know, say you're like you stubbed your toe and your car won't start and you're just having a shitty day. You can kind of zoom out and be like, hey, I mean, less about like, oh, this doesn't matter, but more about like, oh, well, look, lots of places to stub my toe, you know, generally speaking. So odds are it's going to happen. Cars are flawed. They don't really start all the time. Happens a lot. Happened to me in the past, you know, rather than zooming in more and more and being like, oh, how come this stupid car and this key won't fit in, you know, all, I don't know how that works, but you know what I mean? That like, I guess he was saying, you know, think about it more generally. I think that makes sense. You're just removing yourself as being like the victim or whatever, from the equation. And then if you have positive thoughts or something good happen, you can feel free to get more specific, you know, like, oh, I have this awesome job, so happy about it, instead of being like, well, everybody's got jobs, you know, which is true, but not everybody, but you know what I mean? You can feel free to get more specific about what you're happy about. Oh, you know, it's also just like an awesome day, and the people that I get to work with are really cool, and I really like that, you know, I get to use this awesome pen today. Yeah, I don't know, I'm making shit up, but this is just stuff off the top of my head, but it was a really interesting, like, active way to figure things out a little. So try it out. I don't know. Maybe it's not for you, or maybe it is. But anyway, before I ramble too much, I just want to dive right in and tell you who this guest is. Get excited for Aiden Park, guys.
Okay.
Yay.
We begin.
Hello.
Hello, Aiden Park.
Woo woo.
Aiden Park has brought masa.
Yay! It's stuffed pizza.
Stuffed pizza.
You call or it is stuffed, it? Wait, no, it's not.
You
it's
deep
dish.
Deep dish. That's yes. Right. Stuffed is like the crust. Is that?
I think there's nothing stuffed about it.
Okay. Yeah. No. This is deep dish pizza, which exists primarily in Chicago. I almost put a knife to the microphone. I
was trying it's so
stab
delicious.
Stab the microphone.
Stab.
It's delicious.
It looks like a dick.
It.
Stab the dick. Wait. Do I need to keep it clean?
No.
Oh, thank God.
Well, you know, yes, maybe my mother listens. But it's
your mother who cuts your hair.
My mother cuts my hair. Yeah, you can say it.
Okay, good, good.
I told you my deepest, darkest secret. My mother cuts my hair.
I'm so sorry.
I'm kidding. No, it's fine. I'm not.
I want to go to your mom.
Yeah. Do you want to get your hair cut at my
yeah,
childhood
your hair
home?
Looks great. What the hell? Wait. What?
My childhood home.
Wait. Can I go there? You think she'll do it?
Well, here's the problem. I think she only knows how to cut like my hair and my sister's hair, and that's it.
We're all Asian hair.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. We have similar hair. I think you would just maybe need to grow it. Like, I don't know if she could do it as close to your neck as it is right now.
Oh.
She might kill you. I'm just kidding. Hello, Mom. Anyway, so, yeah, thanks for bringing masa because, you know, This is kind of the pride. One of the prides of Echo Park is masa.
Yeah. Oh, masa is so delicious.
Deep dish pizza, even though, yes, it is technically Chicago, right?
Yeah.
That's where it's big or whatever. Did you get pepperoni on the
I don't know. I hope you can clean this. Okay,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I'll put it through the washing machine.
All right. Really? You can do that?
No.
Oh, shit.
Well, the little foam part. I'm sure
the
you
foam
can,
part.
I just shake it off. Use a sponge or something. It's already a sponge, basically.
Do the dishes with
it
and see what happens.
A dish sponge. But great. We're excited to get to know each other because we've known each other, but through comedy. You're a hilarious comedian, performs around town. He just had me on his Improv Lab show
this past
Monday, which was super fun, and you were hilarious. And your laugh was described as rich by one of the comedians. Who said that again?
I don't know. Someone said, like, rich, but the way they said it, it meant wealthy.
Yeah, yeah, like you could only laugh like that if you had money for generations.
Right, right. Which is funny because I grew up so poor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can always, you know, turn the laugh from the outside in, like fake it till you make it. So maybe the wealth comes after the laugh.
Or maybe I'm just a happy person, you know.
Take that.
Good pizza. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love pizza. Yeah. And I'm so happy about this. Honestly, Sierra, you were like, oh, do my podcast. And I was like, okay, yay. And I just showed up and I did no research. I'm so excited that it's like a positive.
Sorry. I should have given you more of a summary.
Oh, no, no. This is perfect.
Okay, good.
Because I showed up and I was like, yay.
Yay. I know. Well, I asked people who, across the board, but, you know, most of the time I'm always like, oh, that person would be great because they already have that positive energy. And it's like, let's tap into what they're doing.
Do you know anything about me on that front? You know,
maybe only from what maybe I see from your social media,
uh-huh.
But I don't. So that's why you're here, man.
Interesting.
Okay. Tell me everything.
Well, I'm obsessed with the self-development, self-help, positive psychology area. So like I actually am a practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming.
Shit.
NLP. And I did a Landmark Forum and the Liberty Experience. And I did, I'm like... I didn't go to college, so I kind of threw myself in to those things for self-development purposes.
Incredible.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, tell me about these things, because I don't know if I fully know them specifically. And then, was it all beginning from around college age, or was it something you were interested in younger? Or?
Yeah, from around college age. Cool. So, basically what happened was, I was here undocumented.
Got it.
And so, for years, and I grew up with my grandmother, who... in her, you know, government housing. And
there's that laugh, everyone.
Yeah, my rich laugh.
Yeah, yeah, wealthy laugh, dripping with gold.
And then, so I went to school and I got great, I didn't get perfect grades, but you know, I got like 1300 or something.
Damn, this is
on SATs and I had like a 3.8.
That's great.
And then could not go to college.
Fuck, right.
Because I was undocumented at that time.
Right.
There were no protections, and it would have cost like $150,000.
Sure.
So I had a year of just, there was no education offered to me, other than I did like work study at like Lyons Ballet in San Francisco, and I did like work study at American Conservatory Theater, because I was into theater back then. So I was trying to learn stuff that way, and I just took whatever was available to me, and what was available for life skills was... you know, those programs.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's obviously showing like a lot of entrepreneurial spirit. No, but you know what I mean? Like to be
figuring
like,
something out.
I mean, I guess I got to figure it out myself, which is something that, you know, I would say you learn later. Like I definitely felt like I was coddled in this like, oh, nice. Then you go to the next grade and then you take school and then you do the next class. You know what I mean? And so that was very lucky that I could go through all that. But I think then later on is when it hits you like, oh yeah, I guess you got to also create stuff for yourself, create opportunities for yourself. So the fact that you took that initiative at such a young age, I feel like is already telling that like, you know, you figured it out, man.
Well, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. So cool. So that's where, and what pointed you to that in particular? Like, cause I think a lot of people also think that school doesn't teach you certain life skills, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, how to find a good mate or like
I loved what you said earlier about I'm such a nerd as it comes to like positive psychology and like and like a self-improvement that if I'm not being funny I apologize.
No, I mean that it's also why I like am mostly not funny. I'm just like I take it all too serious.
Yeah, no, I love it though. I'm like, oh my god. But I love what you say about you know, in Harvard, you went to Harvard and sure. you learned like, oh, you can be that hardworking or that wealthy or mm-hmm. that smart, and it gives you a perspective like, oh, like anything's possible. That's like a whole different
right
realm.
Meeting all these different people, it was like, oh wow, it's so fascinating to know that.
Yeah.
As a person, you can also be that way. Even if it seems out of reach, it's like cool to even just see it in front of your face, you know, rather yeah. than on a television screen, I guess, or like.
It's pretty cool.
Reading it in a book, right? Yeah, yeah. So that was, you know, very valuable. Yeah. Probably one of the most valuable things that I personally learned outside of the classroom or whatever. They always say like the most valuable things you learn are outside of the classroom.
That seems amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, but I think it's the same thing as like, but at that age, if you're going to a college campus, you're getting a certain experience, which is a college experience, right? But I think a lot of friends who, you know, either didn't go to college or, like, did go to college and then are reflecting on it, like, you feel so much less, it's almost like you feel younger when you come out of college because people who have been out of college for a while and have, like, been like, I've been in the real world for 4 years. So, you know, you just get, obviously, like, more actual life experience, which is a whole different thing, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. So then what was it like? So from there, you did all these programs.
Mm-hmm.
What brought you into comedy? And then was that sort of like the same?
Well, I did musical theater.
Okay.
So a year after I graduated from high school, I got my green card and then I started working in theater. And then I ended up doing productions of Miss Saigon over and over and over. I did 9 of them. You know that.
Wow.
Did I tell you that? I did 9 of them. I went to China to do Miss Saigon.
Oh, shit.
The people from China to fly to the United States to find a Korean to fly to China to play a Vietnamese person. Yeah.
Amazing. International story.
International.
Yeah. Globalization. And
it was weird doing Miss Saigon, which is very, like, anti-communism and very American. Well, I mean, no, actually, it's pretty. But, like, I mean, it's skewed American. Mm-hmm. It's not skewed toward the North Vietnamese people look great.
Right.
You know, they're like, we tell all sides of the story. Yeah, the side of the people left behind on our side of the war still, and Americans, but not the North necessarily. So, and I always play the North. And the reason why I know that is I always play the North Vietnamese leader of the Viet Cong. Like,
okay. Yeah, that was like, your dude.
Because I can't dance. So they cast me as the singing Asian, and I'm pretty tall and very scary when I'm not moving or talking.
Okay, yeah. The height really adds to it. If you're not smiling or laughing, then I could be like, you could be that guy.
Yeah, in a suit. Just put me in a suit and I just move a little stiffer. And there you go.
Like, transformation complete.
Stop moving your wrists, you know.
Oh, yeah. Is that the note?
I'm gay. Do you think they know that?
Oh, okay, yeah. We're going to take a pause here. Where we explain. Yeah. But yes, I see. So that's cool. So you got to really, that's sort of your stage person.
Yes.
And so it was maybe, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like more of a clear path to be like, oh, performing on stage as a musical theater person. And then now I'm performing on stage as a comedian.
Yeah. I just got so bored and I just ended up like, I was like, oh, I want to do something, you know, different. So I'm one of those actor people who started in stand up because I thought it would help my career. Like, that's legit. Like, I'll be honest.
Oh, you're like, that's how I was an actor. Now I'm like, I heard stand-up could help. But then you fell in love with it.
I fell in love with it. And I stuck with it.
I mean, did you notice that it... Because I do recommend to a lot of actors that I will meet. Like, just do stand-up if you want to do that.
Totally.
Like, it helps a lot.
I help my friends.
It puts yourself out there. And then, you know, you just get to practice more whatever you want to do and write your own stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, it's less about getting permission to do what you want to do, right?
I don't look at it as so precious as a lot of...
Sure.
Yeah, a lot of comedians, I think, look at it, you know.
I know that guy.
Yeah. We all know that guy. You can go to any open mic and see 14 of them.
Multiples.
Or more.
Of 14, yeah.
Yeah. and multiples of 14,
Wait, so because you mean precious, like, oh, you got to be a purist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also heard a lot of that. But it's like, well, of course you're going to say that because that's all you're doing.
Right.
Like, it's sort of an echo chamber to go to a lot of places and then whatever it is, stand-up, acting, I don't know. I'm pointing at this plant, so I was going to say, like, gardening. You know, maybe there's, like, purist gardeners who are like, you can't fucking be going selling flowers. We're just watering the plants.
And in the neuro-linguistic programming world, they basically say, okay, like you look at people's model of the world. If you look at their model of the world, if the only thing they have, they don't have a job, they don't, you know, a lot of people like, there's this mentality, there's this reality that they create where they say, I am a comic and therefore I'm poor. I am a comic and therefore I am single.
Right.
No, you're single and you're poor. And being a comic is not an excuse.
Right, right. And it doesn't fuel any area necessarily.
Like, no. And they hang on to that. And anything that threatens that. So their position is, these pretty actors are coming and taking all my jobs, and therefore I'm an unsuccessful comic. Mm-hmm. And therefore I'm poor. And I don't have
and
a relationship.
I don't want to date or something.
Right. Yeah, like, or whatever excuse.
Interesting.
It's just like they'll use whatever external circumstances they have to keep themselves exactly where they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tempting. I'm guilty of that in maybe a micro way, in the sense of like, you know, though I haven't reached that level of that Pokemon evolution yet. I guess being like, oh, well, you know, I got to do this because of that. And it's like, what are these rules that I'm making up? You know, like, they're not necessarily like written down anywhere, and they haven't necessarily worked in practice. But interesting. So wait, neuro-linguistic programming. I don't think I actually knew that was a specific like school of thought.
Yeah, NLP. I love it. It made it such a difference for me.
And that's just, what is sort of the backbone of that?
The backbone of that is that you create your own reality.
Got it.
With linguistics.
So the voice inside your head, like things like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if you say, I'm poor,
then you are poor.
You've identified as poor.
Got it. And then it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. So how
And they'll defend that because you've taken I am poor.
Got it.
We're trained to defend our identity, right? So you could say, I don't have as much money as I would like right now, which is a much bigger, better.
Because then you might get more money.
Right. Whereas I am poor. It's like, yeah, you are poor.
And that is me. And I am poor and poor is me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, because this is all stuff too that's relatively new to me now. Like, I don't think I thought about all this stuff before. And maybe because I was, you know, I didn't need to. And that's sort of a point of privilege. Like, the fact that I didn't need to think about, like, oh, where are my thoughts going, whatever. But then secondarily,
they all think like that, right? Mostly. Most of them just think. You can't get to a really high level achieving without, having some kind of thought that's going to, a way of thinking that is supportive to where you want to go.
Right.
So if you're in Harvard, you're surrounded by other people who think,
it's like, oh, then I can be the next Mark Zuckerberg.
Right.
And, you know, maybe you don't get all the way there, but then at least you're like not capping yourself off.
Right.
That is true. I did believe in that a lot because I think, you know, even in high school, like I felt really happy about certain friends, hanging out with certain friends who I felt like were, you know, made me the best version of myself. So it was like either they're really, you know, fun to be around, or some who are just like really hardworking, and it's like, oh wow, I guess I should probably be just as hardworking, or at least give myself some credit to do so, you know, versus I don't know. So I guess that is important.
Totally.
So what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, but the fact that you were looking into this stuff, like, this is funny because I feel like I'm both asking you about the content of what you know and also like why you even are interested in this in the first place. So there's like multiple levels, multi-level Aiden. But yeah, so the fact that like you were kind of learning about this stuff a while ago, because I feel like it's had a pretty big resurgence or surgence currently. Do you notice that people are more into this stuff now?
People
and you're
are
like,
more
into I was
it.
Into this before, it was cool.
Well, I was 25 when I first really, really, really started delving into it. And I was so broke, so poor, jobless. Like, it was such a situation. I was 25, older than you are right now.
Well, not for long.
Not for long.
Give me a month. Give me a month or two.
Yay, Leo.
Yeah. But yeah.
So yeah.
Got it. So it was sort of like, hey, gotta do this now. But then I guess what I mean is like, are you noticing currently 2019 that like more people are getting into this?
Yeah.
And I don't
and
know
thank
if it's
God.
Because, maybe it's just people are being more vocal about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I don't think I heard too much about it before. And like, you know, just examining the way you think more, I think is something that's relatively widespread. Meditation's really in, you know? Mindfulness. Maybe it's just Los Angeles too, though.
Well, I actually think that there's the people who do it because it's the hip thing to do. And there's the people who actually practice it. But it's kind of like a blurred line, so maybe people can start by trying to look cool, and then they cross over into...
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I wonder about that, too. It's like, sometimes I'll do things because it's trendy.
Yeah, I totally...
But then you, like, fall in love with it, and then you're like, oh, well, now I genuinely am a part of this movement.
Yeah, stand up. Me. Yeah. I mean, for me, that's what happened.
Sure, yeah, yeah. No, no, that's fair.
Yeah.
But I also, I never got the idea of, like, you know... I do, I do also believe in what you were saying before, the malleability of like, well, if you think a certain way, obviously that's going to happen, you know? Because I think I was learning about, it was that book I was telling you about, which I've actually talked about on the podcast before. It's called Lost Connections. But I guess what was interesting is it's just sort of like the idea, and I don't know if this was from that book, but just like when people learn about how the brain is a muscle and it's malleable, then they start to actually... move their brain.
Yeah.
Because I think we just think of it as, oh, I'm born a certain way. Mm-hmm. This is my DNA. The word DNA like already sounds like, oh, I'm programmed. So this is how I'm going to be. Guess I can never be an astronaut because I was programmed to be a zookeeper. I don't know. Yeah. I'm trying to think of fun professions. But yeah. And so then the idea that like, once you teach kids about the brain, they actually like show, it shows that they start to learn better. Like, it's just so weird.
He probably mentioned her in the book. There is a researcher who was focused on this named Carol Dweck. And I read her book called Growth. There's two mindsets, the fixed mindset and a growth mindset. And it's taught. So if you have a fixed mindset, then you are, you just are told you are who you are and you're smart or you're dumb and that's it. Whereas,
I know what I don't like. I don't like when people are like, I'm bad at math. Because I'm like, I think you're probably fine at math. And I think, well, here's my theory, is that I think Asians are good at math because we're told we're good at math. So we're like, oh, well, I'm Asian, so I must be good at math. So then we like work harder at math and then we are better at math.
So do you think I'm bad at driving because I've been told I'm bad at driving? Or like, because I've always been terrible. And I can't get, I mean, really, I mean, I am texting and...
Sure.
Singing and listening to music at the same time.
Could be some variables.
But I'm so bad. Like, literally, like, I can't stay in my lane. And so people honk at me as I drive. They're like, honk, honk. And I'm like, in my SUV. It's a terrible, terrible dilemma.
Be careful. Out there. It's a wild west out there.
It's the wild west.
But, I mean, I think there's some truth to that. You know, there was, like, something that I remember reading about how, like, you know, when people are told you're not going to do well on this test, then they're like, not going to do well on that test.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so if you tell some kid, like, you're dumb because you're this or that or whatever, then, like, they're probably going to be not performing well.
It even works the other way around. Like, teachers, they did a study with teachers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Sierra has got an IQ of 150.
Right, right.
And then, but actually, like, Sierra had an IQ. Like, I mean, actually, like, she was, like,
other
you
Sierra.
Know, just whatever. Yeah, I was just, you
dumb
know.
Sierra.
I'm sorry. That was not, I think.
Actually, Sierra, I have something to tell you. You're a dumb shit.
You're a dumb shit. We just told you that.
And
actually, you're an idiot.
I'm eating pizza that you brought me. Anyway, yeah, no, I think, I agree, though.
Yeah.
I think, like, because I don't really necessarily feel like there's any reason why I did the things I did other than, like, people being like, yeah, I mean, you might be good at this, you know what I mean? And then I would do it, and then it's like, oh, well, now I work at it because I think people believe in me. I think actually moving out here and then, you know, kind of being on my own and doing comedy and doing something that's TV stuff where it's a little uncharted territory is where I realized, like, oh, wow, I lived a lot of my life banking on other people believing in me, which is such a luxury, such a privilege. And then now that I'm here and now it's more up to me to believe in myself, it is like an adjustment, you know? Because it's hard because I don't think I ever really had to do that, you know? I mean, and that's just me being a privileged little bitch, but I think it's really like, you know, oh, wow, yeah, it is much harder to do anything if you are the only person believing in you. Or if that's not even there and nobody is, you know what I mean? Of course, even though that physically doesn't manifest, like, it's not necessarily people like giving you money or something. It's just literally like, if your perception in your mind is like, I'm probably not good at math, then you're probably not going to be good at it, you know? Or that teacher said, you're a little dumb shit. Then you're probably going to be a little dumb shit.
Totally.
You know, and it sucks, but it's...
But as adults, yeah. we can choose to fortify the beliefs that we want to. So neurolinguistic programming is like, you create your own reality through your beliefs. Mm-hmm. And a belief is just a thought that you keep practicing. It's not actually so, you know.
Yeah. Do you have one you could share?
No
pressure.
Like, okay, like... Oh, I'm trying to think of one. I don't want to give too much dead air time.
No, that's okay.
But like a belief.
Kill this air.
A belief that I... Okay. I can think about it this way. Like, you can take the same concept. Okay, so I have very high energy, lots of storytelling kind of comedy.
Yeah.
You've seen it.
Yeah,
It's a storytelling high energy, conversational.
It's great.
Which, for some comedy purists, it's not the way to go, necessarily.
They're like, right? You gotta be deadpan.
Right, or whatever, right?
You gotta do it like Louis C.K.
Yeah, whip out your dick and see.
You gotta whip your dick out.
But like, I can take that same thing, right?
Got it.
I could say... Say a belief. I could say, I'm not a real comic because at the comedy store they don't like me, and comedy store is the biggest club in the world,
so
and they don't
just
like me.
Now.
So yeah, so I guess I'm not a real comic, and I'm not a real comic because example A, example B, example C. See all these reasons why I'm not a real comic. Remember that time you bombed? Yeah, and then that door guy said something to you? Yeah, bad. And then that agent didn't like you? Bad. So like. You can pile it on to a point where your beliefs are a reality.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed, right? Same thing. I could be like, you know what? Hey, I'm not necessarily the favorite at that particular club, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have real evidence for that either. And, you know, there's a lot of people who really appreciate my comedy. Remember this person and that person? Or remember I did this and, you know, I got whatever, whatever. And... Yeah, maybe I have a very unique approach, and that's what makes stars. Like, so maybe I've got star quality, and I'm just going to keep going with the way I'm going because I've got this person and this person. Remember when that person gave me encouragement? So either one, you can choose whatever.
Yeah.
But you can continue to fortify the one that you want to believe as your reality.
Got it. And that's like what that would be, NLP. NLP in a nutshell.
One area. So it's creating your own reality.
Yeah, which is so important. Okay. Here's what I love about that is like same raw data, same things happen to you, right? Mm-hmm. But it's interpreting them, it's picking and choosing because we can't remember everything that happened to us. I think, you know, it is natural to remember bad things because somebody was describing it like basically maybe we're wired that way because when we were cave people.
Well, what's one thing
like
that...
There's like a jaguar is behind you. You're like, I got to remember that jaguar is there so I can escape this jaguar.
Yeah.
So that's like a negative thing.
Yeah.
But now, no more jaguars to worry about. Yeah. So it's more about remembering, remember that dude, that mean thing? Fuck that dude. And then I'm only remembering that dude and not like the 9 great fairy compliments. So I guess that's maybe why we're wired that way sometimes. But I see that it could be malleable again.
So what's your thing? Do you have a belief that you struggle against?
Oh, I see. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it is the same old believing in yourself stuff. So sometimes I get worried like, you know, I blew... X or Y chance that happened. So for me, I feel like I'm blessed with a lot of, you know, I can reason myself into positivity, I think, in a good way. But I think sometimes where I worry is like, I had it and then I lost it. Mm-hmm. You know, certain things in the past. Oh, you know, there was that opportunity where I could have introduced myself to that person and maybe they would have said, great. I'm going to give you a job or, you know, whatever it is that I want. And then, you know, I was too shy, so I fucked it up. Or like, you know, I didn't believe in myself at that time. And so then I wasn't asking for things more. I wasn't putting myself out there enough. And so then that's where I feel like I feel as if I missed the boat. So it's almost like, oh, you had a chance. You missed it. And so now we're here. Now maybe we believe in ourselves a little bit more. But... it doesn't matter because I missed the boat, you know? And I don't, I mean, that's obviously, again, really fabricated, because then the same thing will happen. Sometimes I'll say like, oh, last year was the year. And then this year I'll be like, no, it was actually that year. And I was busy thinking that it was the previous year, you know? And right. So I mean, I see that happening in my own life a lot. And I think what I'm learning is just like, definitely the way people frame things is so important. Like I saw, I really respect a lot of my friends who are able to, you know, take the same event that happened to the both of us. And it's not manipulative, but spin it in a way almost where I'm like, oh, that's actually a much more pleasant way to put it. And then sometimes I see people definitely maybe manipulate the story to be a little too favorable, but, you know, that's like a business person or a salesman.
I got in a hit and run last week. A hit and run. Someone hit my car and ran off. Like,
shit.
You know. And really.
Sorry.
Really.
Yeah.
I could have gone, God damn, my life sucks. Uh-huh. This sucks.
Right.
Like, this always happens to me.
Yeah.
I'm a bad luck person. But, you know, you really could choose it. I decided. I was like, hey, I wasn't hurt. He ran off, but he wasn't like a 89 pickup truck. So if he did take responsibility for it, $1,000 means different for me than for him. I can cover myself. Aiden, I'm proud of you for being able to get to the point where you can cover that $1,000 deductible. And Geico's been super helpful, and thank God that all the... So, like, you start talking, and then you start fortifying your own self-confidence, using it as an opportunity. Not just, like, I'm lucky, but, like, it's like, ah. Oh.
Things you actually actively did.
Yeah. I took care of myself.
Yes.
I was able to do this, and, you know, after a recent, you know, event, I... You know, I'm back on my feet, you know, because, right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, my boyfriend passed away last year. And so that's where I actually picked this up even more, because what happened was, after he passed away, he got cancer. He suffered for like 3 months, and I was in the I lived in the hospital for 3 months, and it was gnarly. And he passes away, and, that's why, you know how, like, now my whole thing is, like, giving advice.
Yes.
And the reason why I'm doing that...
was where that started.
Yeah, because I was like, oh. Because I realize now what the ingredient to happiness is. Mm-hmm. And after Michael died, I was like, ah, I'm going to go after my career more. I'm going to have more sex with random guys. I'm going to drink. I'm going to... make more friends, all of those external conditions that you chase. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, those leave you empty, because nothing is stable except for your opinion of yourself. So you have to give yourself unconditional love in the sense that you have to learn to self-talk and fortify yourself to bring your energy high.
Right, because that is... what you're faced with after all, everything else ends, like the party ends, or like the, you know, the career thing has a lull or whatever, right? It's like, that is true. But yeah, I mean, I remember, I mean, I can't believe, A, that you had to go through all that. That is intense, obviously. Yeah. Anyone getting sick, but especially, you know, someone you're in a relationship with, and I know you... It was sort of sudden, I guess, or at least it wasn't like something that had been a long thing. If it was 3 months and then he's gone, you know, that's a lot. So to go through that, I don't know how, and I'm sure it's still something you deal with, but it's like,
well, it was
the
just,
fact
it was
that you
gnarly.
Turned it into, oh, yeah.
It was so terrible. It was, I mean, but, you know, again, coming out at the end of that, what do you have? Well, I could be like, oh, you know, like chase all the other things. But like, you know what? Like I could say like same situation. Yeah. I can't change the external conditions, but I can change the way I think. So like I could be like, I'm going to be single forever, miserable. And I'm sad. And I loved him so much. And now I have this big hole in my life, blah, 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 blah. Or I could be like, you know what? Like I realized something about myself. I showed up for myself and I showed up for him. In a way that was truly, truly ride or die. Yeah. I have a new respect for myself. Like I'm respectable. Yeah. I'm a loyal guy. I'm a good person, and I did not give up on Michael all the way to the end. And I went really far to try to save him. And I saw what I was made of. So yeah. Same situation. I'm going to choose to look at it that way. Because your choice of thought is the only thing that's going to determine your happiness at the end. That's what I've learned. That's it.
Right. And how valuable. Yeah, geez. I mean, also the fact that you turn it into the advice thing, I think yeah. is really cool. Because it's also like, you know, and I love watching them because I think, you know, it's cool to just see what people ask too, because it's all across the board. But also the fact that you turn it into like, you know, that you're helping other people. I think that does that at least, I guess, does that bring you a certain sense of, you know, everybody always talks about how like altruism is like the ultimate way to find happiness.
Yeah. Because I was studying the self-help thing and the neuro-linguistics. I was all trained in all of those things prior.
Classically trained.
To, kind of. I mean,
it's like the most classic training you can get in that, I guess. I don't know if the set, right? Because like most of us are just listening to podcasts. Well, here we are. And, you know, talks as I do, or, you know, reading books.
Oh. Well, I mean, it's not like I got extensive, but I mean, I'm so obsessed with it. I mean, I'm such a nerd. I have like 100-something odd books on Audible. I'm in so much traffic, like 100-some-odd.
Oh yeah.
Like
that's the only way.
Development books on Audible, and you know, certifications, all those things. And I think it struck me was, you know, as Michael was dying, I saw that people were doing really important work, like the doctors and the nurses, and like. Man, like they, you know, so I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to continue to do comedy, then I want my comedy to, A, raise general vibration, and if possible, create content that could potentially help people out of a funk or something, you know, like some kind of value. I wanted to provide value in a different way.
Cool. Yeah, and I think that's like, hopefully why a lot of people start or stay in comedy. But I think it's so easy to lose sight of that because, you know, because I think maybe, I don't know, if you boil it down, it's like we are just trying to bring joy to people, hopefully, right? But then, you know, everything else gets involved. It's like then it's about getting in past at the clubs, and then you have ideas of getting on a sitcom. You know, it's sort of this thing where it gets layered on top of things, and then people lose sight of what we're actually doing it for. And, you know, or we didn't want to do it that way in the first place. Who cares, right? Maybe we just want to be famous, right? Yeah. Who knows, right? I don't know what everybody's thinking. But at the end of the day, like, that is true. It's like, in some ways, you know, and maybe it's lifting it up too much, the profession. But I like to think in some ways it's sort of, you know, sort of health, almost like a health thing.
Yeah.
That, like, there's healthcare providers. And then there's, like, also, you know, other parts of your life that's also tied to health. Actually, I don't want to say it myself, so this is the way that I'm backing up my point, is that I did do a show for UCLA med school, and they were like, it was like the Asian American and I actually have a joke on it now, but I won't say it. My joke is normally like, oh, I, you know, performed the UCLA med school students and it's the Asian American Association, so, you know, most of the med school. That they asked me when I'll know I've made it as a comedian, and it's when I've married a doctor. So that's like the short version. but what they were sweet about, because at first they were like, you know, sometimes you get called into some of these college things, and it's like normally like the person who's organizing the event is like likes my comedy and that's why I'm there, but like no other reason, you know. It's sort of like they're like, well, we just wanted you to come, and it's like, okay, that's so sweet. But I hope that I fit into this event, or else it might be weird. But then when I was there, somebody had said like, oh, well, it's cool because, you know, we're kind of thinking of it as like a holistic approach to healthcare. And it's sort of like, you know, and especially because it was Asian American Association. So it was sort of like, you know, Asians are having like a good year with media and representation. So like as healthcare providers, how can they understand that as part of their whole patient, you know? And I don't know. I mean, maybe that's such a stretch, but it was interesting to be like, oh, that's cool. That's somebody in like a very, you know, this is a very traditional area. And I think maybe a lot of talk around doctors being a little too narrow, and maybe, you know, they're really good at the science, but they're not so good at the bedside manner. Or maybe they're great at that, but then they don't really know how to talk to the family, or like, you know, or they're great at all those things. But then also it's just a crazy profession. So it's just interesting because it is all entangled.
It is. I mean, yeah. the doctors and the nurses that came to Michael's. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's this, I remember, there's this Dr. Chu. And I was like,
excellent. Mm-hmm.
She's walks in and there's like fans on her. Like, and she's so beautiful.
Oh, okay. I was
so
like,
tiny.
I was like, are they
carrying? I mean, I don't know. They may as well have been. And she comes in. Nice. She's like, "Hi, I'm Dr. Chu." Wow. So knowledgeable, so nice, amazing. So beautiful. And she leaves. And I turn to Michael, and I'm like, "Michael, I'm really happy you're getting such great care, but I'm also starting to feel life's a little unfair."
That's so funny.
I stalked her on Facebook.
Yeah, is she killing it?
She has a boyfriend. She's young, and her profile photo is like in, like, I don't know, some beach with her and her abs.
Well, okay.
Next to a boyfriend with abs.
I love it all. Abs doctors. I mean, I guess so. They're healthy.
Abs doctors.
I literally think, okay, so here's the other thing that I learned in college. You know, everybody thinks like, oh, well, if you're good at one thing, you probably won't be good at other things. Or like, if you have one thing going for you in your life, you probably won't have other things going for you in your life. Not true, because a lot of people I met there had everything down.
Everything!
Pat. Because, look, like, if they're about to fucking crush it in doctor school. Notice how I call it doctor school, because I don't know what I'm talking about. If they're about to crush it in doctor school, where they can spend 100-hour weeks, like, crushing it.
Yeah.
They could probably also put the same amount of energy towards building those fucking abs. You know what I mean?
I mean, damn.
And getting boyfriends and getting beach pics. You know what I mean? These people who are good at stuff are just good all the way around.
They are, huh?
I think so. I mean, I have. I mean, shout out to my close pals who are hopefully listening. I don't know. Probably not. But, you know, she crushes it. In her job, businesswoman, takes like hot photos on the Inst. And I'm not saying gram, notice I say Inst because I'm cool. And then, I don't know, she has all sorts of great other things going on. She's like musical, you know what I mean? It's like everybody's just got lots of things.
That's great. So I want to be like that.
It does feel a little unfair, right? Yeah, it's like, oh.
Well, I mean, at the time, then, you know, I want to be like that.
Yeah, I mean, but then malleability, we can all be like that.
We can.
So all you have to know is like, oh, so we don't have to be just the nerd or just the jock or just the boyfriend. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Then great.
Yeah.
Sounds like we can just be everybody.
Yeah. You can decide you want to be like something and then start talking yourself into.
Ooh, you know what I liked?
Mm.
I heard on this one podcast that like the Greeks, I don't know. It's like everything I know is like third hand. So corrupted by now, but. That, like, the way that the Greeks ran society was, like, you sort of did different professions at different ages. So it was, like, maybe, you know, as a young man. I mean, again, this is men. As a young man, like, you. you fight in the army because you can.
Is this before or after they get sodomized? But
sure, yeah. Probably after. I don't know. That they glossed over that part, let's just say, in this podcast. Yeah, so you know, you fight in the army. So you're like a soldier, and then you graduate to like being a, I don't know, you graduate to being like maybe a merchant or something, and then it's like you're a senator, and then you become a philosopher. So it's like you get to live all these lives.
Mm.
What we would consider, oh, now we specialize. And then the same podcast was specializations for insects, so it's sort of like weird that we've decided to be like the specialized community. Like if you're the best at making this type of watch, then like you've crushed it, you know what I mean? Like if you're like the best fashion designer and you made a name for yourself, that's like considered success here rather than the person who like jumped careers for a while.
Right.
Because it's just the way the society is set up. It doesn't necessarily mean that that person is.
Well, but if you stick to something for a long, I mean, we were just talking about the Angela Duckworth thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you stick to something.
Then you will inevitably get better. That's fine and that's true. Like, I think that's objectively true. But I don't know if that's as fulfilling as a life to some people. Like, I sometimes feel like I don't know if I would want to just do one thing anyway, because then I wouldn't get to do the other things.
Right.
And the other things look like fun, too.
Yeah. I guess it's just like...
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. What looks fun to you?
Good question. I mean, you know, sometimes I get a little misty-eyed about working, like, a computer science thing. Because I used to do that. Well, here's
misty-eyed about computer. That's not a sentence you hear every
I know.
Day.
I'm sorry I said it out loud. No, I think part of me... So I used to love to play, like, internet games. I think that just the time has passed. So I kind of always wanted to, like, make little cute video games where, like, the it's, like, cute. Like, I don't like the video games where it's like, I'm an orc and I'm like,
spicy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, oh, you want to make a cute video.
I want cute ones with like, oh, little Pokemon. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah,
and
that's
then,
when,
like, you match them and then they explode into little rolls.
Oh, yeah. Bop, bop, bop. Yes. You can do the voices.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so, you know, part of me is like, oh, you know, that would have been fun. But, like, there's really no market for that. I mean, I know there's some.
There is. Isn't there?
And then I would probably get sick of it after, like, a few months. But it wouldn't be fun if, like, we lived in a world where, oh, I could do this job for a few months and then I could do that job and then it'd be completely different. Nobody would judge me. But I feel like, I mean, and I feel like in some ways what I do is similar to that. Like in TV and stuff, you can't really work at the same job for that long because TV shows don't last forever and, mm-hmm. you know, comedy and popularity doesn't last forever. So even if you're like, oh, I'm crushing it, I'm selling out theaters, like it may not last forever unless mm-hmm. you become like icon level, sure. But, you know, I guess everything's a little bit more.
I feel like it's
now.
If it's supported by content, then it could possibly. It has uh-huh. more potential too. Like Tony
Last
Robbins,
longer.
For example,
yeah.
is supported by content that is independent of the media's point of view of him due to his following and due to his content.
Sure. No, I mean, I'm not saying that like there aren't professions that exist for long amounts of time, but I guess, you know, maybe.
I gave this a lot of thought because I wanted to make sure my comedy career
so like just making sure you have
content that is sustainable mm-hmm. beyond opinions of just a few people possibly. Like, I don't know, I feel like I'm really happy that the advice thing is something that people could always use. Like, and that applies to their lives. And so it's less dependent maybe on, am I the hot comic right now?
Right.
But, you know, I mean, not that I'm the hot comic right now.
No, but I know what you mean. Like, it's very evergreen. It's not about like, oh, I'm the guy who comments on this celebrity. And then it's like, well, then your career is based on that celebrity's
person.
Popularity.
Yeah.
But, oh yeah, do you have a comic who you idolize their career or like think that, oh, that would be a nice career to emulate?
Margaret Cho.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who I've done shows with and she's my friend now. So
oh
I'm like
God.
So excited.
Oh my God.
But she's amazing and she's really used her comedy as a platform to support. I think that's why she can last so much through time because she's created a network for her that will stand by her. Because of all of the amount that she's given back to the community.
And I'm so always thoroughly thankful and impressed with Asians who were in entertainment like long before today. Obviously, when now it's hot. But we're selling
hot,
like hotcakes, which is why both Aiden and I are on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Hot.
the ones who, you know, it was probably in so much of their interest to just shit on the Asian, you know, just to like leave us all behind and be like, I'm the chosen one, so fuck all you guys. And they didn't because they have lots of integrity. And then, you know.
Margaret has such integrity.
And they're so talented and they were able to fight the urge to do that and then, you know, lift up the community. It's just amazing. I don't know if I would, you know, it's just like that amount of maturity. She was also so young. She's only 25 when
you've
all
heard
American
her story,
girl.
Right? The all American girl.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
what
yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, so that's what I want to talk about right now. Did you see on the Asian AF Instagram? I don't know if you follow them. They had it. This is like such inside stuff, but I was like, ooh, juicy gossip. So on the Instagram for Asian AF, which is like a comedy show that's at UCB, they were like, this month for Asian Month, APAHM. We're going to roll out every day a picture of a icon in Asian American entertainment who like to respect your elders. So like one week it's George Takei, one day it's so-and-so, whatever. And so then it was Margaret Cho. And then another week it was like her show itself just to be like, hey, this was actually the first show as Asian American. It was only on for one season.
Yeah.
Then 20 years passed and then was fresh off the boat. So in the, they also, for each caption, they had another Asian American in entertainment and media write about that person. So it would be like, I think Jenny Yang maybe wrote something about Margaret Cho. Or you know, somebody who they'd had an interaction with them that was meaningful. Or they actually really knew them really personally. And in this one, it was actually Jeff Yang. Do you know who he is? He's this journalist who writes about all sorts of things, particularly as hugely, you know, pro-Asian American community, this and that. So really cool guy. He, his son is actually Hudson Yang, who plays Eddie on Fresh Off the Boat, the little boy. But anyway, so he wrote about how for All American Girl, when it first came out, he wrote like a really scathing review of it. And, you know, it was like the it was like the one Asian American show. So I think there was this thing with Asians where we're like, it's got to be perfect. I don't know. I wasn't coherent, but it was like, oh, it's got to be perfect. So if it doesn't represent me, it's shit.
Yeah.
And so I think he felt like maybe they sold out a little bit to ABC. Maybe there were some things where it wasn't quite right. So he criticized it. And then the show got canceled. And I think he felt like some part of responsibility because a lot of people referenced his article as why the show didn't work, because it's like, look at this, Asian doesn't even think it works. So how could it work for white people? You know? Yeah. And so then he wrote this caption being like, I regret it. I feel bad about that, but we learned so much from it, and I really respect that show now. And then B.D. Wong commented this long comment, like, being like, Jeff, you should. It was, like, really, like, negative. Like, you, I remember the look on Margaret Cho's young face when she read your review, and that, like, the fact that you think you have any responsibility on like taking down the show gives yourself a lot of credit, huh? And like it was really like, whoa. And I mean, I'm not taking sides. I just think it was like, damn, these people are going to town on Instagram.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway,
you should look it up if you want some juicy.
Ooh, that, I like juicy.
I wonder if they took it down. I don't know. Maybe that was a long walk to something that nobody's interested in, but
no, that's interesting.
But yeah, I was like, wow, this is some Asian American on Asian American crime.
Fight, drama.
As close as we get to
20 years ago, though.
It was 20 years ago. I mean, and you can learn so much from that. I mean, you know, and also Jeff probably didn't know at the time that was.
But that show sucked. 20 years. That show did. I watch it now. It was poorly written, poorly edited.
It just was not.
I mean, the thing is, it was great for the Asian American movement, sure. But that show was a weak show.
Right. And like nobody knew that it was going to take 20 years for a network to pick up another Asian American show. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
so do you then take a show that is, because really, watching it now, you put it right next to Seinfeld and the writing just isn't the same.
Got it.
So then it's like, okay, well, or Golden Girls, if we're going to go there, right? Ha ha, that's my favorite. Okay, Golden Girls. Okay, so you watch Golden Girls, you watch that over and over, and then that show just wasn't as strong. No. So then is it the responsibility of this Asian reporter to
be like, give his... I love it.
Right? Yeah.
No, it's not, right? And that's the crime. I think it's like, or that's the tragedy of it. Like, I remember in class, I took like as many Asian American classes as I could at school, which wasn't that many. It was like a handful maybe, or some weren't teaching at the time. And somebody was like, oh, do you want to, we read this one, and this, you know, a lot of people were like, this one was stupid because I just like, you wouldn't even say this if you were trying, like, you wouldn't, like, they were kind of putting their own words in her mouth. Like, this author, it seems like she doesn't even get what it's like to be Chinese because you wouldn't say that or something like that. And it's like, yeah, maybe that's true, but it's like, she's not speaking for all of Chinese. She is just speaking for herself. But then we internalize
that. Was that how the article was written?
I don't know. I didn't even read the original. I've only read his regrets, which he's written about multiple times. But, you know, that we kind of like, obviously, if there's just one, you're going to project yourself on it. But I don't think any, you know, there's definitely no white person that's like, oh my God, this show has to represent my life. Like, you know, you just watch white shows because they shows, you know? Versus, like, we have to, because there's so few, we have to be like, oh, but this isn't me and my family, so what the fuck?
Yeah,
and it's like, well, obviously
yeah.
it's not, because all families are different, no matter what skin color or whatever you want to call it, right?
So interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A detour we took. But anyway, so that's my little All-American Girl.
Yay!
But yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Margaret Cho's career.
I love Margaret Cho.
Makes sense.
What about you?
Yeah, I mean, also, you know, obviously anyone who has lasted that long is like to be reckoned with, right? It's like there's a clear reason. I think Wanda Sykes, another one, because like she produces stuff too, so she's sort of like using her awesomeness to then give opportunities to other people, which is cool. Tiffany Haddish is awesome, but she's still much younger and newer to being in the spotlight, but she's, you know, the fact that before that she was just like talk about grit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was seeing some interview where she was like homeless 3 times yeah. in her young years, like 18, 21, 24.
Jeez.
It's like she would like be in her car like before shows, you know, she's still performing, but it's like, damn, that is grit if you ever want to
That's cool.
call anything that, right? And then Sarah wow. Silverman, I guess.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was just watching something recently that I thought was funny. Oh yeah, I was watching School of Rock where she mm-hmm. plays like the naggy girlfriend, and she's also so beautiful, right? And so it's so funny because I feel like people were probably like, "Well, you're so hot. Like, let's try to put you in these hot roles that are just like really boring and naggy." But she still like is funny in them.
Yeah.
Even though the character just sucks, right? The character's just like, "You're the naggy wife, bitch." But she still shines, and then, like, the fact that she's just an anomaly, but then, also, I just watched, or I was starting to watch Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Yeah, oh, yeah, aww. Her voice is, like,
so great, but anyway, yeah. I'm talking too much, anyway.
No, why? No, I want to know.
But yeah, those are the ones I was
Yeah. Thinking. So what do you want for your career? Like, so you want to, like, what, be a writer, or you want to have your sure, own show? What do you want? Sure. Are you allowed to talk? Am I allowed to ask you about this?
No, you are. Yeah, I mean,
do they probably, know about this?
I probably talked about it a decent amount. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's like, you know, I think I can't leave any part of it behind because it's just so hard to do any of them mm-hmm. that like you kind of need all of it, right? Like I think because we started in stand up, at least I feel this way that I'm like spoiled. So I like the idea that I can perform stuff that I wrote, and then for other people, I mean, for other. You know, for other things, like, to reduce any side of that feels like, oh, well, I mean, yeah, I'd love to do this, but, you know, it just feels like a little bit less than doing
right.
what I want to do, right? And so I think, you know, I do love to perform, though. I would like to keep that in somehow, even though I also really enjoy writing. But, yeah, you know, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
How about you?
I don't know. Whatever comes. I really enjoy all ends of it, you know?
Totally.
Yeah, I wish there was a better answer for you.
No, and I think that's like, yeah, that's like a hard thing because it's like sometimes when people ask that, you want to give them a concrete answer, but sometimes there's not one, you know? Mm. I mean, it's the same thing too with the fixed mentality. Sometimes I feel like if I say, oh, I just want to be in the next Marvel movie, like then you're limiting yourself. Even though that would be dope, but you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, that's what is encouraged.
An actor, it feels.
Yeah.
Like you might.
It's encouraged to be that way by the world, I think. The world likes to hear a.
Yeah, we don't got time for.
A pretty rapt answer. Just like a simple.
Well, yeah, that's why social media, it's like, I just want to know the one photo you took on that one vacation. I don't want to know about the one you also got delayed at the airport. And, you know, but then that creates FOMO, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. What's that?
FOMO?
What's that?
Fear of missing out. It's a acronym.
For fear of missing out.
Yeah, so it's like, oh man, they're all at the beach. Fuck, they didn't invite me. FOMO. That's.
Oh, is that what that is?
What the hell? No, I'm just kidding. No, it's a good one. Use it now.
Okay, FOMO.
You can use it all the time. But yeah, so I guess the idea that, like, you know, specialization is good because then it's also like. I can wrap my head around somebody, but then it does feel like, well, we're all human beings, so we're not going to be one thing.
Yeah.
But I did talk to a friend who was saying that, you know, longevity in career is more of a better goal. So I think the fact that you have your eye on that is already good because so many people just want that 15 minutes and they're like, I want it now. And then like, then it's like, okay, now what, you know?
Yeah. I want to provide after... Yeah, especially after Michael, I want to do some kind of service. So I want to, you know, hopefully provide something that people could use.
Yeah.
You know.
Have you noticed with the advice thing, like, was there any one in particular that you...
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes I get DMs and... You know, I mean, it, you know, there's, like, kids from Kentucky mm-hmm. hitting me up, you know.
That's
who are like, I want to come out, but I'm scared.
Oh, my God.
Any advice? Or I had one today. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'll if I have 10 minutes or 15 minutes, I'll, like, text back with them. Mm-hmm. there's this one kid who was like, I am getting more involved in activism at school, and my best friends are complaining that I'm not hanging out with them as much, and I feel guilty because I feel like I'm, you know. And so I talked to him about, you know, that, mm-hmm. and, you know, like, it feels nice to help these guys, you know. And sometimes I'll get messages like, hey, you inspired me to come out. And that advice that you gave on that one inspired me to do this. It's right. very, very...
Yeah, you never know who's listening. It yeah. could be for the person who asked, but mm-hmm. also like a ton of people who are too shy to ask.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, maybe my problem's not that important. And well, then they realize like, oh, actually, I get the same thing out of that.
I don't generally give advice like, dump him, leave him. Okay. Like, I don't. It's right. more about like, okay, well, think about this and that, and then you decide for you if that's what you want for your life mm-hmm. and you can align with it or not, like, because mm-hmm. I think that's how you should figure out any problem. It's not like you should do this, you should do that.
No, yeah, because it's like also just so many details that we might not know about that yeah. person. Do you notice people coming to you for advice more in your in the real world?
No.
They're like, social keep media. Keep that on Instagram. Yeah. Keep that away.
And I have an article that I write for the Pride LA.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And
yeah,
that one, uh-huh. you know, similar.
Okay. Yeah. I think I saw that as well. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, also the fact that I feel like when young people come, it's like so tender because it's like, oh, yeah, you know, it is.
I feel like sometimes time. Social uh-huh. media can be a very dangerous place for these people because yeah. I think that there's such a, there's a detrimental trend going on in social where it is, like we said earlier, so easy to give such an easy gift-wrapped answer. Like, and so it's, you'll get more likes if you go on there and say, fuck Trump and fuck anybody who does Trump and block everybody who does. Like, you'll get more likes.
Yeah.
But if you're a kid in Kentucky who's 17, that option is not available to you. You definitely should not go around saying fuck Trump, I hate all of you as a 17-year-old. And I feel like because it's such a quick soundbite that people can do, it kind of, people do that for their own benefit, which encourages people who should not be doing that to do it, who are under, like, surrounded by, I don't know.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Like, just, it's riskier for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, think how risky it is to say, fuck Trump, like, yell it out your window in Los Angeles. It's not.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
people agree.
Everybody would applaud.
Fact, yeah, people would bring us baked goods. but, yeah, if it was, you know, somewhere else, it's like a safety issue.
Yeah. It's like,
because, yeah.
It's like, honey, bad. You do you. Come on out and screw what everybody thinks. Not if you're sure. in Nebraska.
Sure. Yeah,
you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, it's like, who has the guns, man?
Yeah. So.
No. No, I don't know anything about it. But I guess that is true. It's all the, I mean, especially Twitter, where it's like you're actually limited to a certain number of
yeah.
people. Like, the more
volatile, the better. The more you'll get likes and
retweets.
Yeah, and retweets. And
I always worry about that. I stopped going on Twitter at a certain point.
Yeah, I don't go on to look at anything.
I should figure out how to do that more. But yeah, that was the problem. It's like to tweet stuff, I felt like, oh, I need to be up to date on what people have said already, so I don't make the same joke, or like, you know, this
How
or that.
How could you possibly do that?
You can't.
You can't.
Everybody makes the same joke.
Yeah.
It's the same news.
Yeah.
And then you scroll, you end up scrolling through like 1,000 arguments that just make you feel gross and like disgusting inside.
Yeah. The righteous anger is such a
isn't it?
Seductress.
Yeah, I know.
Because it feels so good. Like, yeah,
I did my activism for today. I said, fuck Trump.
Yeah.
And then somebody.
Right? And then, and then you go around the world, you're like, these people suck. And then you go, this is a shitty place to be in. I hate the world.
Right.
And
like,
then it sinks you. Yeah, why do I even?
And I'm not even, it's like,
I just
want to
die. Just fucking kill me.
I would literally like be on my phone before I even got out of bed.
Yeah.
And the day would be ruined.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. And then you get up,
it's like, why?
Get a call from
start?
Your mother. It's like, mother!
Bed. Yeah. Get out of my face. Go back to bed. Yeah, totally. I mean, but I think, yeah, even connecting with somebody like that, it's a gift. You know, you have a gift because that isn't something a lot of people are able to do. I think it's scary to. Well, it's scary to ask for our help. And I think it's great that, you know, these are people who are also kind of have some sort of anonymity because you don't know them personally. But yeah. Like the fact that, you know, you've created a thing where people are willing to be vulnerable is crazy valuable. Like, because you also, again, it's like you don't even know who's watching.
Yeah. And that's great. I don't know their names. It's like, like EXO Baby.
Yeah. You know? That could be anyone with the name. Yeah. And the last name Baby. Yeah, I mean, that's because, yeah, again, it could be like, oh, yeah, you know, you get this many questions asked, but then the people watching, I mean, that's maybe the power of, like, television shows, too, or whatever. Like, if you get, like, if you make something or a comedy special and then, like, somebody watches it, you just never know who's going to watch it and who it's going to connect with. So even if it's bad, quote, unquote, like, people always talk about, oh, got bad reviews, and they're really down about their bad reviews for their TV show or got canceled. It's like, yeah, but there's plenty of people out there who really liked it. Oh, I know what I was watching recently. Kidding on Showtime.
Okay.
You know what that is? It's like a – it's the new Jim Carrey TV show.
How was it?
I just started, so I don't really – haven't seen a ton of it. But what was interesting is it was kind of getting, like, slammed in the – not slammed. It wasn't getting, like, glowing reviews in the media by critics on Variety or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, ordinarily, you know, people think, Jim Carrey? Oh, my God. It's got to be the most amazing show ever, because why else would he return to television? Yeah. He's a movie star. But then I saw some comment in one of the articles. I was like, yeah, say what you will about the show, but, like, the show's about grief. It is he loses a son in the first episode. Or, like, that's the backstory of the characters. He had lost one of his sons and in a car accident. And so, and the comment was like, say what you will, like this critic, but like, this is a show about grief, and grief is messy, and they depict that very well in the show. So like, you know, it is true that it's not like any one person could even really see a certain work of art, quote unquote, or like interpret advice or anything in the same way if you've been through different shit.
You know?
And that was valuable to see.
Totally.
Because I think it's easy to be like, we're all unanimously agreeing on how this is bad or this is good. But it's like,
it's like you don't know how certain things will inspire. You want to know something? Yes. I actually, Kathy Griffin has never been a favorite among comedy purists, I would say.
Got it. And she does a lot of the celebrity gossip.
Right. And when I was starting comedy, I watched her stuff.
Cool.
And she's one of my favorites because she's not perfect. In that there isn't a punchline every 3 seconds that like roars, but it's so interesting. And I was like, oh. And I have such respect for her because she is great at what she does. And Louis C.K. might come up with a special every 3 years or something like that. That's an hour or something along those lines, maybe. But like she comes up with one like every 6 months.
But she doesn't whip her dick out, so that's...
That's
worth like at least 19 specials, you know?
That's right. That's right. But I just think it's so... She affected me in the way like, oh, like you don't have to be so 100% perfect to go after what you want. And you can just keep aiming to grow. And whereas like maybe that special might not have gotten a great review from a traditional comedy purist, but it affected me in the way that, oh, you can work hard and go for the best that you can and do what interests you and get to where you want. Like, you know what I mean? So it's, it definitely made a difference for me watching her stuff.
I like that. Yeah. Cause it's also like, she's so unique too. And I think people forget that it's like, well, if we're all going to go for this, what a few powerful comedians say is the way, then we're all going to get the same shit.
Yeah.
And then not everybody likes the same comedy. It's super subjective. Some people are going to want to watch Kathy Griffin, and then some people are going to want to watch Sarah Silverman, and then some people are going to watch Louis C.K.
I don't watch comedy. I
don't either.
I don't.
I know.
I'm sorry. I watch enough of it at shows that I have to be on.
Exactly. I know. And I should, because I think it also kind of gets...
No, you shouldn't. Fuck it. Because this is my thing. I'm like, I don't watch comedy. I don't know people. I just don't know people. Like,
oh, you like that new Joe...
Rogan special, or I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know, Kate.
No, I mean, honestly,
my friend Kate. Yeah, Kate Quigley. Yeah. She's like, ah, Joey Diaz. And I was like, who's Joey Diaz? Like, I didn't know who that was. Like,
yeah, I actually do know who he is. Yeah. You know what's funny?
He's famous.
Yeah, he's huge. But you know how I learn a lot of this stuff? My boyfriend is a fan of comedy.
Really?
So he'll like fill me in on certain things.
Like, does he like your comedy?
Yeah. Yeah, he better.
Great, no, he better. Yeah, right? Better.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, we, have, no we pizza. Have like basically, yeah, I know. Cut him off. We basically have a similar sense of humor. I mean, we've been together for so long too that you kind of just like grow into the same person. Scary. But no, I think it's also that, you know, I think, and I noticed some of my friends who have been doing comedy maybe just fewer years, I think they're great at it. But maybe I just got kind of like, I started as a fan. So of course I loved, I just consumed everything initially. But then I got kind of like, okay, I've seen so much. I got to yeah. like chill out. And I think maybe that new, like if I was a little newer to it, I'd still be in that mode. But I think because it's kind of been a minute, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to watch these dramas.
Yeah. Watch Paula, Paula Poundstone lies. Had the best.
Ooh. Uh-huh.
You know who that is?
Yeah, yeah.
She's. I think she's so funny.
I've seen her stuff, but I don't think I've seen a lot of her stuff, which is because she's like a legend, I guess. It's sort of like
She's not like like.
It feels.
But she said the best thing. She was like, "People ask me if I watch comedy. It's like, no, why? Because I like what I think is funny, and that's it. Why do I need to?" And I was like, "Great. That means I never need to watch. I haven't watched a single special."
Yeah.
Like, really.
I don't think, I can't sit through one sometimes. I just get like, this feels like work to me and I need to
it's work.
Doing something else. Maybe I'll do watch it in the back, or listen to it in the background. I've done that. Yeah, I mean, I hear the same thing from a lot of comics and most often ones who have kind of, like Cameron Esposito, who I work with her podcast, she will say, yeah, I don't really watch comedy that much. And I mean, she's at a point where she really doesn't need to.
Yeah.
She has her, she's set, you know, I mean, she has her specials out. We know who she is as a comic.
Yeah.
She's growing and she's working on her next special. You know what I mean? Like
right,
there's no need to be like, oh, what are other people talking about?
Yeah.
But it is, I remember hearing that and being like, oh, that makes sense. You know, why bother if you kind of have developed your taste, you know?
Yeah.
Only so many hours in a day.
Yahoo.
But yeah, sometimes I feel bad about not.
Well, we can feel bad about anything.
That's true. Here
it's
we are.
True.
Here we are. You know?
Yeah, I could feel bad about the pizza that I just ate. I could feel bad about.
I do not feel bad about that.
Well,
we'll hit it up too. I just left it out here.
Oh.
But yeah, no, this is all good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so the positivity, circling to the positivity.
You don't want to say pause. You know what that means in the gay community? HIV positive.
Oh no! Fuck.
Pause.
Positivity.
A diagnosis.
It's all, you know, it's all keeping it positive. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, are you...
it's keeping it positive.
I didn't know that about positive. Yeah. So do you have any things in recently that you've learned about happiness and stuff? Or do you know it all? Have you known it all?
What did I learn recently about pop?
Or like even personal things that you're like, oh, I'm trying this. Well, you're going on that... liver cleanse.
Right.
I don't know if that's related to happiness, but like where'd you pick that up?
Well, okay. I wanna let's see. What did I learn recently that is lining up with your instincts is huge. I think the more you line up with your instincts, the better you are. And it's when your instincts are telling you one thing and you're moving forward on something and you get that feeling, you know. I feel like that's your instincts telling you, don't go. Or if you, you know, want to do something and you're like, yay. So lining up as much as possible with your instincts, then you can be happy.
Oh.
For real. Like, that's how you find happiness. You have an instinct to do something or you have an instinct to go somewhere or do something. And you align with your instincts and not hammer yourself away into what you think the other person wants.
Mm-hmm. Because you'll wake up and be like, oh my God, who am I?
Yeah. Or finding somebody. Okay, so here's an example. So I just recently broke up with a guy that I was dating for this reason. He had something that he wanted, right? He was, you know, into, you know, exhibitionist sex.
Okay.
That's one thing. For me, sexual connection is uber, uber important. For me, I like to look within my relationship to find that sexual satisfaction. He likes to look out. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. We have a discussion. He says, I want what you want. But exhibits behavior of wanting the other.
Okay, okay.
Does that make sense? Not that he's cheating or anything, but like just in the way that
like,
he.
I'm reading your action, or I'm reading like certain other things. Yeah. And it doesn't match up with what he's saying.
Right. Okay. There's nothing wrong with the person.
No.
But I, when you are in a great relationship, you are lined up by what you're instinctually driven to do, not by external conditions. So he could line up with me. Mm-hmm. And hammer away at himself, which was what he was trying to do to fit my mm-hmm. ideal. Do you choose that because someone likes you, or do you go, no, like, I'm going to wait for somebody who is instinctually driven to want what I want? So when you find somebody, or when you're like, you got to find somebody who is honest enough to understand what their instincts are telling them, open enough to express and live the life that their instincts are driving them to live. And that fit you. Ooh. So you got to be the same. Like,
sure.
Like, here's the thing. Like, okay. Like, I'm a big old bottom, you know, when I have sex, whatever. So, like, if I'm
like
a bottom.
Gudetama.
What?
Like Gudetama.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a reference that nobody on the podcast will understand. But we decided that Gudetama,
Gudetama is the egg.
Yeah, egg.
He has an ass.
You Google it. He's clearly a bottom.
But, like, I there's bottom shaming in the gay community.
Sure, okay.
You know, people kind of emasculate, you know, whatever. But here's the thing, like, okay, like, because I do that, am I going to identify as versatile? No. I know what I am, and that's what I'm instinctually driven to do. And I'm not going to force myself to do something that I don't quite enjoy. I want to live where my instincts are. So if I want to be a gay bottom, then I'm going to line up as a gay bottom and I'm going to live my life in that way, despite what they say and despite what I feel like I should do. I'm going to let that go and line up with my instinctual drive to go where I'm going to go. And I'm going to be open about it. And I'm going to be finding somebody who is, because I've been on dates with guys who are like, oh, I'm versatile. And I'm like, then you're not for me.
Okay.
Because I'm so... And they're like, no, 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 we can make this work. I don't need to. And I'm like, no, no, no. I want to be with somebody who is instinctually driven to be a top.
Sure.
And they, and that's why also like the fetish thing, like, okay, like people like, are like, oh, you don't like Asians, or like, mm-hmm. you like Asians because you're a fetishist. And I'm like, bring it the fuck on. Because if you're driven instinctually to like Asians, and
sure.
I'm driven.
Then you're like,
right?
Then it's set. Why not?
Uh-huh. Then you go a step beyond. Of course, there's other things
to it.
You
got to make
but
sure.
But I don't want to be on a date with somebody who has made themselves go on a date with an Asian person.
Right, to be like, I can prove it to myself.
Do you see what I'm saying? I am not a charity case. This is not a social justice movement.
You know what? Movement. I think I did see. Was that something you wrote in your column?
I did.
Okay, because I think I read that and I really was like, that's a great point. Like, you know, because somebody had said that about, or, you know, asked advice.
Yeah.
I asked for advice, and I was like, yeah, that is a good point, because why would you even want to, you know, it's your
life.
Why
would you?
It's your life. You're not trying to, like, be some sort of story for somebody else to watch, you
right.
know?
In my truth, my instincts are telling me, be with somebody who thinks you're the hottest thing, who is fucking crazy about you, who you are fucking crazy about, that you line up naturally with instinctually, not because we're hammering ourselves away to fit each other.
Being like, oh, here's this like idea of this person I need to be or whatever. Because then that's going to change too.
And don't you change that either. Like what I mean is I'm not going to see some shiny object, like some wealthy guy who is super handsome, who is versatile. And so it's like, I can only be in a relationship with versatile. Well, I'll make myself versatile for you. Nuh-uh. No. Line up with your instincts. That is your number one priority.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's...
In anything you do.
That's great because... I think... Is that something that you have found has become more clear with age? Maybe. I know people say
it's
like...
practice.
Yeah, I
it's
mean
just,
experience.
People just generally have ideas that they feel like they need to pursue, or ideas of how they feel like they should be doing things. But ultimately, your instincts are what, and we're all selfishly motivated. Here's the thing. I brought this pizza, right? Because I'm selfish and I want us to have a fun experience over a meal. Very little about you, to be honest. It's not like, oh, Sierra will like me. No, I want Masa Pizza. I'm going to be in Echo Park. I want us to break
Neil and... We're eating freaking pizza.
It makes me happy. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then the side effect is it makes me happy.
Well, it makes me happy to make you happy,
right? Selfish selflessness.
So it's like you want to find people like that. You don't want somebody who is altruistic because they want some kind of end result.
That feels weird, and it feels like it's going to be like, you know, it's some movie where you find out that they're like in a bet with their friend or
cruel intentions. Like, that's way before your time. That's 10 years. Oh my God. You were 2 years old when that came out.
Nice. I'll watch it. I do think, because I think, you know, it's just the same thing where it's like, as I get older or whatever, it's like, it's definitely just give a little less shits about what other people think. Yeah. And then that makes you realize that who you are. Well,
that's the other thing too, that I think people do that I think is dangerous. Mm-hmm. You can't push against the noodle. Like, if you can't be like, I'm gonna give less shits about what other people think, then your focus is still on what other people think. Whereas your focus can be, I want to give more care to what my instinct is driving me to do.
Right.
And you'd go further that way. Mm-hmm. So you're not, your focus is shifted.
Sure.
You can't.
Yeah. I mean, the way I'm phrasing it is more like.
No.
Well, the way I'm phrasing it.
I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm sorry.
No. I see what you mean, though.
Yeah.
But I think, that's like the underlying meaning when people are like, just don't care what other people think. It's just because you're on the premise of like, I did care, and that's why I was changing who I was. And then now I don't, which is why I am. I get to be who I am. And
people like you much better when you don't.
Yeah.
Because like, I have everything working against me. I have everything. I'm such a fucking loudmouth. I'm this real gay guy. Woo! You know, I have all this working against me. But, you know, the more you embrace yourself and move toward, and then you also find people who naturally like, if you start living in that instinctual way, other people who appreciate you for who you really are find you. And then you find people who meet you at that level.
Real friends.
Yeah. Who love you for you.
You're weeding out the false.
Yeah.
The falsities. Incredible.
Yeah. That's what I'm working on. Mm-hmm. That's what I like. I really think that is the most important thing in living.
yeah. Instincts.
Yeah, having instincts and aligning with them.
Honoring them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because there is so much pressure right now, especially like moral pressure.
For what?
I think just like the standards at which morals have now been set is like more popular, if that makes sense. Like, you know, and I think for a good reason, but it's like Trump's in power. So people are like, if you have morals, you better make that in your, you know, you better show that in your life because our country's going crazy. You know what I mean? So I feel like there's more of that posturing, if that makes sense. Like, for instance, if it's like the thing we're talking about with Twitter and it's like, oh, we want to go on there and be like, say, you know, some crazy thing. Fuck Trump.
Like righteous morality?
Yeah. That's like more of a thing now. And I think that's can be good. But I think it does maybe create the thing that we're talking about. Well, because if it's a thing where the guy then goes on the date with the Asian because.
Yeah. I don't want that.
Oh, we want.
Who wants that?
I'm morally obligated to now suddenly do so because everybody's saying that, you know, Asians.
It's unwoke.
Yeah. That like if you eliminate that, then you're unwoke. On your profile or something, which is true, but also like don't experiment with real people, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like you got to examine that on your own first, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know, but therefore I feel like, you know, that's maybe more rampant than it once was. People trying to kind of be like, how can I change myself today, rather than like, how can I examine how I've been conditioned to think a certain way?
Yeah.
And they're like, how can I take action today to change myself and then implicate other people in the process?
Yeah.
Like, whatever. I mean, at least they're trying, but it's also like, don't involve
Yeah, but
me.
Trying uh-huh. for, yeah.
You know.
I really think that if you're not attracted to Asians, that I'd rather you say no Asians on your profile, really, truly.
For just like, say practical it. Reasons of like,
I'm here to get laid. Yeah. I'm not here to get like, fucking, like, I don't care.
Well, maybe.
Yeah. And guys do this. They don't say it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, Asian guys are the least popular category or whatever, and they go, oh, send me a picture or whatever. And it's just like, there's a game there. There's like an unspoken, you know, like I don't really care. I ask people, I'm like, are you into Asian guys? They're like, oh, I'm into every ethnicity. Okay. Send me a picture.
I don't see color.
Right. People like that. But if they say, hell yeah, I'm into Asians, and I send them a photo, like my success rate is like high.
Right, right. And you're like, great.
Great. But if you're, I'm not that hurt that you, in terms of like, oh, no, I don't see color. And then you send a picture. And then they're basically blaming it on your photo, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Because that never used to happen. Are you into Asians? No, move on. That was quicker before. Like, thank you. Don't make me send the photo. But, like, now people want to take the stance of, oh, and then
like,
and then no. And then they're blaming it on your ugly ass. And I'm like, don't fucking do that.
Don't do
like,
that
fuck you.
Fucking, like,
yeah.
Self-esteem right now. I didn't need that.
No, well, I mean, it does it, but I'm just like, oh, you guys are, that's sure. just so
well,
shitty.
Well, yeah, to a less, I feel like, strong person, or, you know, not strong, but like somebody who doesn't necessarily
Do you feel like you're not a strong person?
No, I think I'm okay. But I guess, you know, if I'm having a bad day, and then that happens, you know, or something like that happens, no. I'd probably rather know it was like some sort of racism thing rather than like a
yeah.
personal
yeah.
you.
Sorry, did I put you on the spot?
No, I mean this whole, no, okay. I don't feel that way.
So that's another thing of neurolinguistic programming. It's like subtle body cues. So when you were like, oh, like to somebody who is not as a strong person, you did that. Oh, which okay. then I saw as, oh, I self-identification. And I was like, oh.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I could. I guess I was kind of thinking of myself. I was thinking of like a young person who's, you know, just trying the dating pool online.
Yeah.
And like they don't realize that there's
so
some
shitty.
Shit. You know, there's some people out there that aren't nice.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, it was my photo. And
it's like, yeah.
Oh, well, no, it was actually that other person.
Yeah.
But you don't know that because how would you, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, and shame kills you. That's another thing that I believe. Shame kills you.
Wait, elaborate. And what's your definition of shame?
Like what I think is it's like you hold something back and not share with another person for fear of being judged, and it's something that you don't tell anybody or something that you keep it. The more you keep it keep a secret for yourself because you feel, you know, bad about it or embarrassed about whatever, the more charge it has. And so, Sierra, like, I could tell you everything about my life, but not tell you one little piece if we got to be really close friends. Or a lot of people do this. That's why I feel like people don't feel closeness with one another. Because you and I, say we are best friends, and then I don't tell you, you know, something out of shame. Because I feel like, oh, like, one time I did something. Or I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
Then we could have develop a close friendship. Then it's so easy to go to, I'm lovable. Sierra loves me. Oh, but if she knew that one thing about me, then she wouldn't. So therefore, I am a piece of shit.
Got it. It's something to cling to and eats away.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I think
there is like actual studies on that, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
People died earlier or something.
But I think that's what it. If you hold a piece of yourself back, then it's a great excuse to negate anything.
Oh, yeah. Because we would just cling to anything at that point.
Yeah,
we'll
just be
like, well,
like,
yeah, of course they're going to say that because they don't know about this.
Yeah. And most of the time it's like, oh, I stole $100
right,
from the register when I was like, in fifth grade.
I'm like, yeah. It's like, ugh, whatever.
Yeah, no one really cares.
Oof. You know what I was watching? Dead to Me.
Okay.
It's a show on Netflix and it's great.
Okay.
I don't want to spoil it, but
Listeners, I guess.
Well, it's a good one because it's about a secret.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're friends, but one of them has a secret and she doesn't tell her. And, it does put you in a position of like, oh my God, imagine being in a close friendship and this big secret that affects both of them, you know, and then that's like how do you even live your life? And it really gives you this dark sense of just like something hanging over your head, yeah. like a sickness. You know yeah. what I mean? I can totally see that being. I like always have these, like watching these movies where they, you know, some they commit some crime and then, you know, they run because they're like, oh, it's self-defense, but we should have, but they didn't go to the police. It's like, oh my God, just go to the freaking police. Like if it was self-defense, you know, but they freak out and they run and it's like, oh, imagine being a fugitive.
Yeah. Like I was going to say something and then you're not going to get the reference. Because okay, you're so ready. Young. I was going to say, I know what you did last summer, but you know.
Oh, yeah, that's.
Good try, Sierra.
What is that? Is it a movie?
It's a movie. It's a movie. It's a 90s movie. They run somebody over and then they dump him in a river. And
that's
then
exactly what I'm talking about.
They get notes that say, I know what you did last summer.
I hate it.
And then they die. Sarah Michelle Gellar is in it. Do you know who that is?
Yes, I know who that
okay.
is.
Okay, do you know Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Yeah.
What about Freddie Prinze Jr.?
Yeah.
And Ryan Phillippe?
Yes.
Okay, that one took a little longer.
Because I forgot, but you know who Ryan Phillippe is? Huh. I mean, on top of being Ryan Phillippe.
Reese Witherspoon's wife?
Yeah, the daughter. Husband? And she has a daughter with him. And they kind of, she looks like a mix of Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe.
Okay. So
I don't know. Nobody
oh my
cares.
God, you're like but, talking about the daughter.
Yeah, well, it's well, because I was curious. I was like, oh, I didn't know that they were together. Oh, and then, yeah.
You're
saw
funny.
Saw the daughter's Instagram. It's a whole thing. But this has been great. I don't know. Do you have any other like additional tidbits? The shame thing was great.
I don't know. Do you have a problem that you want to talk about?
Oh, advice live?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. I wasn't prepared. Oh, I know. Well, I talk about this a lot on the podcast, but I would say like one of the tough things about social media is the comparison game. And I haven't been really good about not playing the comparison game because okay. I think that's kind of how I was like always operating. It's being like, oh, well, now we're all in the same grade. So like now, you know, we got to score this grade high mm-hmm. to like do well in school or like I got to do this many extracurriculars and then I got to play basketball. I played basketball. mm-hmm. huh? I drop that every day. So I guess like, yeah, I don't know if you've ever.
Well, what is it that, okay. Mm-hmm. So do you want to work this issue? Possibly?
I don't know.
Not on here? Okay.
No, maybe.
Then we'll do it after.
I'll do it loosely. But...
you're hiding your face.
I mean, it's also shame. That's also.
Yeah,
like
that's shame based.
Like,
but here's
I feel so embarrassed that I even play that game because it just feels so narcissistic.
And thank you for saying that because if you leave that on the air and yeah. you should leave that on the air because.
It's on the air.
Uh-huh. Everybody does it. Everybody does it. Everybody does it. And if you, as a public figure, are willing to admit that you do it, then they're going to feel less shame about theirs.
Yeah. I mean, I get, and that's the beauty of advice, you know?
I mean, truly.
Because it's like, oh, we're not so fucking lonely.
Yeah. I mean, like me and my ex-boyfriend, mm-hmm. I went back and forth with him. Back and forth and back and forth and back. I had a drug addiction. Let me tell you about this. I had a drug addiction. I had a sugar daddy for a while. Like, I mean, I all these things like that you could be ashamed of, you know, but like, look, we're all doing our best and it's fine. If you want to stop playing the comparison game to make yourself feel better, then by all means, stop playing the comparison game, or you could keep going and keep doing what you're doing, and that's fine too. That's how we learn, and we don't, there's no hard and fast rule. You're not hurting anybody by playing the comparison game, and you don't like that game for yourself, but you're really not doing anything really harmful to anybody else. So you sit there at night and scroll through, and you think, oh, I wish I were in Cabo. So what? It's look. So what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't, at least. It hasn't seeped past my own brain.
I mean, so what? There's nothing wrong with that. And it's the shame around it, I think, that is the problem.
Yeah.
Because you could play the Here Come Hers game all day long, and it wouldn't affect anybody except for you.
That's the
sad part.
So
who cares? So who cares, you think? Oh, that fucking bitch got to go to... Or that fucking bitch got a Netflix special and I didn't. Who cares? Have those thoughts. Who gives a shit? Fucking think it. Who the fuck cares? Everybody thinks bad things.
Yeah.
So that would be the thing. And then if you do want to stop for you, then you do something. But like I feel... I have a feeling, a hunch, and let me know if it's correct. You feel bad about playing the comparison game for having negative thoughts about others or jealousy or something like that. And it's others based instead of I don't like that feeling for myself, so I'm gonna I feel guilty for thinking this thought about this.
Yeah.
So there's a big difference.
It's definitely a mix.
I
think I'm gradually learning that it's also negative for myself, but you know, yeah, I think it started in like, oh, I just feel kinda icky.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And you can feel icky, or you can feel like, hey, it's a Saturday night and I'm bored and something to do, and why not? It's okay, Sierra.
It's there. It is there.
Everybody does it.
Yeah.
So I would urge you to keep that in, because your listeners are going to be like, I'll do that too.
I'll keep it in. I don't have time to edit.
Yeah. Great. Whatever.
So everybody gets everything. That's helpful.
Yeah. And if you ever want to talk about it, you can call me.
Yay! Okay.
Yeah, I'll love you no matter what.
Amazing.
You can tell me you went and stabbed a bitch, and I'll still take your call. That's my phone call.
Okay. Yeah. Do you need to answer? Well, we're gonna wrap up.
Yeah. Yay! Okay, that's it.
Do you have anything? Okay. So obviously, plug the things we've been talking about.
Okay. What to Do Show. Mm-hmm. Follow us at What to Do Radio.
Nice.
On Instagram. You can follow me at Aiden Park. I answer questions there. AIDAN. I have a column on the Pride LA called Ask Aiden. And when is this coming out?
I think maybe a couple of weeks, I want to say.
Okay, if a couple of weeks. July, sure. Okay. July 15th, you can catch me. July 10th, you can catch me at Flappers Yoohoo Room. I'm headlining that room. So. Nice. Guest list, and then you can hit me up for a guest list. And July 11th, I'll be in La Jolla Comedy Store, and July 15th, I'll be at the Improv Lab. So please come see me.
Check out those dates.
Woo woo!
All right. Thank you, Aiden.
Bye.